Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun, sermonaudio.com. My name is Bob, and this is the next in the continuing series of Bible questions and answers. We're in the book of Galatians, chapter 5. Galatians 5, verses 16 to 24, talking about walking in the Spirit, and then talking about what the deeds of the flesh are. And my question, does Paul have a weight loss plan? Oh boy. I'm going to get myself in even more serious trouble here. This is from a former publication of mine. I wrote, "The Bible is clearer than you might suspect on this sensitive issue of gluttony." Gluttony. Do you remember Galatians 5? Now, the whole answer to overeating is contained in this passage, and I quote it in the article itself. So let me read it. So I say, verse 16, "Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not able to do whatever you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." And my article then went on to say this: "Those who walk in the Spirit will not let their bodies control them. They will not obey their bodies. Their bodies will obey them." One thing we have often missed in this conversation is the fact that control, when you're manifesting the fruit of the Spirit, comes from self. This is a fruit that involves your own self. Not directly from God, but indirectly. We're hoping for those moments when God Himself will overwhelm us and cause us not to eat so much. And that happens at times. But that's not the promise. That's not the goal. The product of the Holy Spirit is an ability within you, within your desire system, your will, your strength, to say no to that cookie and that cake and that junk drink and that third helping. Self-control. God controls my heart and gives me the ability to control my very self, my fleshly urges, including all those things that are related to my physical body. I am in charge, but only because God is in charge. It's not a contradiction in terms, this, but it's a profound truth. Perhaps it's helpful to go behind Paul to Jesus in his famous vine and branches message of John 15. We can see this more clearly. Jesus said in verse 4 of that chapter, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine, and neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you can ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." End of quote. The article goes on, "So we pray, always. Longer periods of time as the years go by, more and more of our life consumed by Jesus. He in us, and we in Him. And slowly we are formed into His image. We receive His desires. We pray for those desires to come to pass, including self-control. He imparts to us this desire because it is His desire too. Do you see a fat Jesus as you imagine Him in His body when He was here? Have any of the great artists through the years ever depicted Jesus as a fat man? Do you see Him sheepishly grabbing at junk foods and saying the silly things we say about them? Oh, I just can't help myself when I'm around this kind of cookie. Oh, man, I've just got to have... And then you just fill in the blank. Do you see Jesus gorging Himself at a feast and then joking, well, I guess I'll start my diet tomorrow. It's true, he hung around people like that, people like us. But do you truly believe that He had no self-control when the table was piled with food? Don't you believe He knew how to deal with plenty? He wants us to look and act like Him eventually. Not because He has mesmerized us and turned us into machines of obedience, but because we want to, and we have the self-control to make it happen, a fruit of the Spirit. Jesus' servant Paul thought along these lines in 1 Corinthians 9. He said, don't you know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. We do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I don't fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and I make it my slave, that is my body, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. And again, I continue with my old article here. Are these the words of the overweight? Was this man a shameless slave to his own passions? Could he say no to the fine foods around him in Greece and Syria and Asia? I'm talking about Paul now. The answers are clear. Paul was in a competition. Competition against his own inner longings. Temptation was constant with him as with us, and the only way he knew to fight it off was to use the gift that he had been given of self-control. The fruit, actually. I call it a gift here because the Holy Spirit Himself is a gift. Now, we like to distinguish between fruit and gift of the Spirit, but everything that comes from God is ultimately a gift. If Paul had not been able to control his body, how could he have preached to others about how wonderful this Jesus really is, who can change our entire lives? I trust you are getting both sides of this story. I'm not talking about human-style self-discipline, nor was Paul. I'm talking about friendship with Jesus that is so real that Jesus imparts to us the powers of His own Spirit, who in turn gives us the ability to do whatever needs to be done. This is a Jesus thing, this weight loss. Here's how I was able to make it work at one time in my life. This was my own plan. Yours will be different. It was conceived after prayer, as described above, hanging out with Jesus, as it were, slowly becoming dissatisfied with the way I seemed to lose it around desserts and junk and larger servings and more servings. I mean, enough is enough after a while, right? Well, years ago, I had found in a health club what my ideal weight should be. You might want to check out such a little exam where they pinch this and test that and ask you questions and give you your perfect number, or at least a range of numbers. Maybe you already know, and you salivate over it every time it comes to mind. With Jesus, though, wishes become realities. So I brought the number before the Lord and began praying for grace, much grace, more grace. Dear God, I cannot do this. I don't want to do this. Help me want to do this, and so on. It's all about the want to. Once you want to, you'll do it. Well, one day I was just able to do it. I chose a bowl, a medium-sized cereal bowl. I decided to fill it up 3 times a day with light and healthy food, period. I won't go into all the details about what is healthy. Now, that's all available elsewhere, and you probably already know. I think most Americans know, they just choose to ignore. But no snacks in between. Eat at 8, 12, and 4, no more, until those numbers start to come down. And they did. And this was not really fun. Suddenly there were 2 want-tos struggling inside. My body was saying, how could you do this to me? What a stupid idea. You're just a legalistic religionist. You're under the law. You're an idiot. You're going to kill me, and more. But I, the one in charge, was saying, shut up. Just shut up, body. You're not in charge anymore. Thank you, Lord. More grace, help. I know you're happy with this. See me through to the end. And there's the balance, looking both ways. Grace from God, but commands to the body. I suppose that if there are not constantly 2 voices within us, pulling us apart, we're not walking in and growing in the Spirit of God. For too long, Western Christians have been listening only to 1 voice in regards to diet. And the ultimate conclusion seems to have become, this is impossible. Forget it. Live and let live. Don't hurt yourself. What's the point? God loves me like I am. Christ has set me free from the bondage of the law, and so on. You've heard it all. I strongly recommend that you search his and your heart to see if there is a muffled voice trying to tell you something better than you've heard in the largely lukewarm church of America. If you do get your own breakthrough, please let me know about it. Maybe I can pass it on to my audience. I'd be glad to do that. You write it out for me. Send it to me somehow. And there you go. That was some time ago. And there have been struggles back and forth in that area. It's an ongoing struggle. We all have ongoing struggles. But it's something we've got to consider seriously, I believe. The church has just gotten itself into an eating machine. It's just always talking about let's eat, let's eat, let's eat. And we don't eat health foods at church. Some people who are really trying to live healthy lives will do it 6 days a week, and they'll go to church and they'll have a special dinner there, and suddenly they're back on the junk from church. Please, church, help us, help us, help us who are struggling, who really want to be healthy people, to be that way, right? Galatians 5:25 is my next question. It says, if we live by the Spirit, let's also walk by the Spirit. My simple question with a very simple answer, what is the difference between living and walking by the Spirit? Well, living seems to talk about what the Spirit does for us. He brings us life and forgiveness and hope and fruit. We owe our very life to Him. Walking, that's doing what He says to do, because that Spirit's already in there. If we live by it, if He's already given it to us, let's walk in it. Let's walk His walk, obey His rules. Let's listen to Him. Very simple answer. It really deserves a little better. Maybe you'll go ahead and follow through on that one yourself. Galatians 6:11 goes, see with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. What is Paul's point here? Well, if part of Paul's new humiliation involved vision, he's allowing his letters to be transcribed by others as he dictates. But here, the helping disciple hands over the pen to Paul. If this is true, I don't think the vision was his thorn in the flesh, although I think he had a vision problem too. But the helping disciple now is handing over the pen to Paul. He's been transcribing everything. Paul's been dictating. But suddenly he stops, gives the pen to Paul, who writes in large letters that they can see are from him. Because there's been people sending stuff around that said it was from Paul, but wasn't really. Oh, he really wants to communicate his message of freedom from the law to the Galatians. How serious this is to him. He said, I may be near blind, but look, I'm writing with these big letters. I want you to see this. Yeah, and they did. Galatians 6:14. We seem to have gone. No, that's correct. All right. May it never be that I would boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. We understand our own crucifixion. What does he mean that the world is crucified? Well, he means that the world is dead. I don't feel its pulse any longer. I don't care what the world's up to. I live in a world of the Spirit of God. I listen constantly to the messages from that world. I do what that world tells me to do. This present evil world has no more enticement, no more control. And that, my friends, is the book of Galatians. God willing, next time you tune into this channel, you will see Ephesians sitting there. Do that from time to time. See what's going on here at the Hackberry House of Chosun website of sermonaudio.com. And Lord willing, we will talk again soon. Bye-bye.